Carolina Inquirer podcast. Kyle Toss joins me to break down Illinois basketball's newest addition, three-star Kankakee 2026 wing, Lincoln Williams. Longtime target of the Illini, was an early offer as a sophomore. He's visited Illinois several times, more than a handful of times. He's been at the State Farm Center for Illinois games, but Illinois kind of cooled its interest because, as Lincoln shared yesterday, he kind of neglected his academics and didn't go to class and didn't take care of his academic work. So all of a sudden, these options started disappearing for him. But he dug himself a hole and he climbed out of it. And kudos to him for putting his head down. He had a good support system with his family, the people at Kankakee High School, and he finds a way to qualify right at the buzzer here. And Illinois showed interest throughout, and he adds a very interesting piece. 6'5", 6'6", really athletic wing. So on a roster that is really kind of slower footed, Lincoln Williams is a really interesting developmental piece. We'll talk to Kyle about what he thinks of that. And Kyle watched every minute of Team USA in the U18 America Cup, and he came away thinking Quinton Coleman was the number one player for the American team. Now, it wasn't a great American team. They lost to Canada in the final, first time in 18 years Illinois has lost the America Cup, but Quinton Williams showed a lot of good things, and Kyle was all over. He wrote a great piece at Illini Inquirer. Go check that out. Has some clips broken up. Again, VIP membership just 60% off right now, more than $80 of savings. Kyle has done an unbelievable job for us. We're excited. He's full-time for us now. He also is going on the recruiting trail this weekend at the Riverside Brookfield Shootout. We preview that a little bit as well. So a lot of stuff to get to with Kyle with Illinois basketball. But I do want to give an Illinois football update. The commits keep coming. It was a good official visit weekend for Illinois this past weekend. They added Gavin Erickson-Statton, offensive lineman who flipped from Iowa State. They also added Caden Newman, a three-star tight end that was being pursued by Iowa State. His home state team grew up 30 minutes from them. It was a good start to the week. And then Illinois adds Ryan Paulson, an edge rusher out of Iowa. Illinois getting into the Hawkeye state. A third straight win over Iowa State head-to-head there. Minnesota, several Big Ten programs that offered as well. 6'4", 230-pound edge rusher. Could be a defensive lineman at the next level out of Central DeWitt, right across the border in Iowa. Really good prospect, and I think he fits this defense really well. Just great burst off the line of scrimmage, really disruptive, great motor. I think he's a good Big Ten prospect, power four prospect, and the first on the defensive line that this new staff has added. So got to keep stacking talent there. I really like the freshman class of defensive linemen that really the previous defensive staff brought in, but I think they all fit this new defensive scheme. But now you got to keep stacking that talent on the defensive line. Not going to fix all your concerns of 2026. He's a 2027 prospect. He's going to need development, but that's a nice first get on the defensive line. And then Illinois figures out its quarterback situation. After Camden Lopati decommitted and flipped to Michigan, Illinois really went back into the evaluations trying to find a 2027 prospect who fit what they like to do. And most of you who follow recruiting know that quarterback recruiting goes quick. It's sped up. These guys are usually making commitments even right during or after their junior season. So usually in the fall, sometimes the summer before their junior seasons, the quarterbacks go quicker because they got to lock up their spots, and the teams want to know who their quarterback is going to be. So Camden Lopati was one of those, one of the earliest commits in the class of 2027 at quarterback. So for him to flip late in the cycle, it left Illinois kind of scrambling to find somebody that they liked. Made a couple offers, but Sladen Shack was one of the first ones they offered. Art Sikowski actually went and saw him in Brandon, Mississippi, not too far from Jackson. And that was during the NFL draft weekend where he's going to see Luke Altmyer. Stop by. Illinois got some ties, obviously, with Luke Altmyer down in Mississippi. They recruited Trey Petty out of Mississippi. He's now in Western Michigan after a couple years at Illinois. But Sladen Shack, 6'2", 200 pounds. He's a gunslinger, man. He's got a strong arm, can really rip it. But the thing that really stands out about him is his mechanics. Great release, great footwork. He's been coached really, really well. David Morris is quarterback coach at Quarterback Country. He works with him, and that's the same quarterback coach that Luke Altmaier worked with. So he's a really advanced mechanically, great base to him. And the other thing that stands out about him, he's competitive as hell. He's really a guy who is a gamer. And he shows up big time. He's got a lot of fire to him. And Art Sikowski and Barry Lunny Jr. really gravitated to that. So he kind of is built and has a similar demeanor to Donovan Leary, who this staff really, really liked. I just think his arm strength is at a different level than Donovan, who transferred out after several years at Illinois trying to find a starting spot. And obviously didn't work out for him elsewhere. But they really like Donovan Leary. And I think Slayton Shack has a little bit better arm strength. So he's got a really uphill climb to winning a starting spot, right? Because the Illini really like Carson Boyd. They really like Michael Clayton. And we'll see if they add a transfer after Caden Hauser leaves. But I think he's a nice depth piece because he adds competitiveness, but he has the arm strength, made the right stuff, has the mechanics to eventually compete for a job here with Illinois. So given the situation, you know, if you told me to rank the three quarterbacks they've brought in the last three classes, I think Boyd and Clayton would be at a higher level. You can just go to the rankings and see that. But I do like what he brings to that quarterback room. Not quite as tall as Clayton. Clayton's release is easy. The downfield throwing is really easy. Carson Boyd, I love every tool except the height, right? He's a smaller guy. But I think his velocity, his accuracy has been really, really good. And he's a great athlete, right? Shaq can move with, you know, and prolong the pocket and prolong the play, but he's not a runner. I would say I built a little bit more like Caden Hauser as an athlete, but I do like the competitiveness. He's going to bring that room, and you need depth, and we'll see what he can bring. But Illinois football, get some commits on the board. They're up to 8 in this class. They got some more official visits throughout the next couple weeks. I think the goal would be to get to about 12 before the July 4th hits here, and I think they'll get here before the season starts. I think they'll get to about 12 or 13, and then we'll see what they can do with the season and see if they can get into foot mode, because they've been really good at foot mode the last several years. But that's your Illinois football recruiting update. We'll talk more about that later on the week with Joey, but let's talk some Illinois basketball recruiting, because they just added a great five-star prospect in Quinton Coleman. We got to see him at the AmeriCup and kind of see maybe how he'll fit in to this team, a Final Four caliber team at Illinois. But also Illinois adds Lincoln Williams. What's his long-term path, short-term path to playing time? What can he bring to Illinois? We'll talk to Kyle Tosk about that next on the Illini Inquirer podcast. It might be summer for the kids, which means things slow down a little bit for them, but we know as parents, nothing slows down in the summer. It just seems to get busier and a little bit more chaotic. That's why it's nice to have meals taken care of. And guys, that's where Factor comes in. No time to cook? Well, that's where Factor makes it easy with fully prepared meals designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs so you can eat well without the shopping or the cooking. Saves a lot of time. Plus, it's quality, functional ingredients, including lean proteins, colorful veggies, whole food ingredients, and healthy fats. No refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, no refined seed oils. They're just meals that fit your goals and your schedule. Healthier eating, calorie management, more protein, GLP-1 support. It's all there. 100 rotating weekly meals to choose from, plus the new Muscle Pro collection supports strength and recovery. It's great. Factor, always fresh, never frozen, and ready in about 2 minutes. No prep, no stress, guys. Head to factormeals.com/Illini50off and use code Illini50off to get 50% off your first Factor meal box plus free breakfast for 1 year. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. Make healthier eating easy with Factor. Head to factormeals.com/Illini50off and use code Illini50off to get 50% off your first Factor box plus free breakfast for 1 year. All right, let's bring in Kyle Tosk, Illini Inquirer basketball reporter here. Kyle, kind of busy week. We got some stuff to talk about. Quentin Coleman, a phenomenal FIBA America performance. Not for America, as they lose to Canada in the title game. So we'll talk about that, how he fits into the roster, how he kind of changed or maybe altered how we are going to think about him heading into his freshman year. We're pretty high on him, but now we get to see him compete at a really high level. But the big news is Lincoln Williams. Man, joins the Illini class of 2026, a kid we'd seen often at Illinois games. He was kind of a jinx, it felt like, to Illinois games, because every time he seemed to visit, Illinois seemed to lose those games. But he was an early top target for Illinois in the class of 2026, and then some academic issues. And I'm glad Lincoln shared it. He owned it that his sophomore year stopped going to class a little bit, didn't take care of his classwork. And that's why Illinois and several other high major programs kind of trailed off here. He took a couple official visits, including Arizona State, some mid-major programs as well, including Southern Illinois. But he wasn't a qualifier until very recently, very recently. But kudos to him. I caught up with him, his family, the AD at Kankakee yesterday at his signing day ceremony. Kyle put his nose to the grindstone, and good thing he did, because he's got a lot of talent. It would have been sad to see him be a cautionary tale. All this talent, one of the best players in the state, 6'5", long, athletic. We'll talk more about that. But Illinois comes back around, man, and they must have liked what they saw from Lincoln, heard from Lincoln over the last couple months, and they add him as the 14th guy on this roster in the 2026-27 class. So what did you just make of that process for Lincoln? A little bit of a roller coaster for him in this recruitment.
Yeah, it was a really interesting one, and to be able to add a guy of his talent level, of his athleticism, of his pedigree in the state with the career that he had at Kankakee, pretty remarkable for an early June late addition 1 week before summer workouts start, and to kind of come a little bit out of nowhere, because, you know, obviously Illinois, he'd been on Illinois' radar for a long time. Illinois offered him back during his sophomore year. He'd been to Champaign so many times, and Illinois really liked him as a prospect for a long time. And then here, really over this past year, as he ran into some of the academic issues, it felt like you didn't hear his name as much. And that wasn't just an Illinois thing. That was really all throughout Division One. And you know, even, you know, reading your story, it sounded like he thought he was probably heading the JUCO route as soon as 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so for that to just pop up, and a credit to him, obviously, for getting himself to a point where this can be possible. But for Illinois, to a guy that they've built a really strong relationship with and now becomes available, and somebody that you can add this late to give your roster a totally different type of player than anything else it has, but also to add in a really talented in-state prospect, one that you hope that, you know, you can develop for a few years, and certainly has a ton of potential, a ton of upside with that athletic profile. That's a heck of a June ad for Illinois, a really intriguing one. And yeah, it's it'll be interesting to see what his career ultimately looks like in college, but that's a really, really fascinating player, and one that I think certainly has a Big Ten future at some point if he can develop, because he certainly has the physical and athletic tools to play at this level. Now it's about, you know, coming in and seeing what that looks like as a freshman, but then hopefully you can keep him around for a couple years and build with him, because he's a super intriguing player.
Yeah, Kyle, the talent was never really a question. This is a long 6'5", 6'6" wing with great athleticism, phenomenal vertical athlete, can really attack the rim, put pressure on the rim. The defensive potential is through the roof here, and he can play make a little bit at the high school level. Now, is his handle good enough to be a go-to scorer? He's got some development to do there. The shot ain't broke, as somebody told me who's seen him a lot, but it's not that consistent quite yet. But, I mean, he's been a productive player for a very good team, and he's been the best part of that team at Kankakee for the last 3 years. So a guy really in Illinois' backyard, just an hour up I-57. And so Illinois was really, really interested here in the athlete. And what I like about it, Kyle, and we'll talk about expectations here for the short term and long term, but he's different. He's different than what they have on this roster, right? This is a roster full of size, full of skill, full of offense, But the one thing we've talked about is like, you could still use a couple pieces who can be good defenders, have a high ceiling potential because of that athleticism and that length. So that's why he's really intriguing, I think, as a developmental piece. Not as a guy you're going to count on right away, but it's something different. And if I think the one thing about what he's been through is you're probably getting the most motivated and most appreciative version of Lincoln Williams now that this almost all disappeared on him. Like, he was probably going to have to go to the JUCO level at one point. And now, like, as a sophomore, he might have been like, I had a big head. Like, I thought I was going to definitely go high major, had all these programs knocking on his door, calling him up, and to have Illinois stick in there and show faith in him. I think Illinois is going to get a motivated version of him, one that is bought into a long-term developmental plan here. So I think he's matured a lot over the last couple of years. And if you can get that and that effort and that buy-in paired with that athleticism and an offensive skill set that is at least intriguing, he's an interesting piece for a late addition to the class of 2026. Like, no offense to Blake Fegbemi, but that was a practice player. Like, he was brought in as a practice culture guy. This is a player that can make an impact in the program at some point.
Yeah, for sure. And in the immediate, it feels pretty perfect because we've had this conversation multiple times during the spring about people asking, well, we feels like we might need one more piece, or you think Illinois could still add somebody defensive minded, maybe a better athlete, somebody who can give you some depth at the guard spot or the wing spot. And, you know, we talked about that multiple times about, you know, it's going to be tough to get that guy because, you know, if you're trying to get somebody who you feel like can definitely play and definitely crack the rotation, it's probably going to be tough to sell the opportunity that's currently available at Illinois. And if you're adding, you know, a developmental piece, a guy who's not necessarily better than your other freshman, then, you know, what's the point of doing that? Is it going to take away opportunities from other guys? And this feels like the perfect addition because he does give you something different. There's a chance as he comes in during the summer and during the fall that he could earn some type of playing time or some type of role on next year's team or help next year's team in some way, whether it just be as emergency depth or whatever the case may be, as somebody who's different in a backcourt that's very offensive minded currently, to add it somebody who has a little bit more length and is a little bit more defensive minded. I think that's intriguing. But then, yeah, the long term upside of it, a guy who's very happy for this opportunity, is going to be bought into this opportunity, isn't necessarily going to expect that he is going to be a rotational player, that he is going to pass up some of these other freshmen, or you know, he's coming in with the mindset of, you know, I'm going to work for this and I'm bought in on more of a long-term plan. I think that's the perfect type of late add to this roster if you were going to add somebody meaningful for next season's team and then beyond. I don't think you could have had a more perfect opportunity come about than this one with an in-state guy and somebody that you hope then you can build with for a couple years. So I just think it makes all the sense in the world for both sides, for Lincoln obviously to get this opportunity with his home state school in the Big Ten after what he's gone through here recently, for that to pop up now in June, and then for Illinois to add somebody who really elevates their long-term ceiling with this type of prospect, but then also I think has an opportunity to give you something next year too that you don't have. It feels pretty perfect to me on both accounts.
Yeah, and it sounds like Brad Underwood talking to Sammy Williams, Lincoln's father. It sounds like Underwood had some clear conversations about what the expectations are to bring this team. And I would imagine one of them is if you want to earn playing time, it's going to be on the defensive end. It's going to be through rebounding. Kind of the same conversation you had with Brandon Lee at this point last year. And I think of the value he can bring just in practice, Kyle, having that type of athlete to be able to put out there. Like, that was part of the value of having Ty Rogers when he did redshirt 2 years ago, was you could put that kind of athlete on Kasper Siakashonis and bother him during practice. So to have a long athletic wing to mimic somebody on another team, he's different than Xavier Zenz as an athlete, right? He's different than some of the players they have there on the wing that would be important practice players. So I know we kind of overlook some of the practice aspect of this, but that's part of adding this developmental depth too, is you got some talent that can push your normal rotation guys in practice and add some competitiveness there. But Yeah, I mean, what are your expectations? What do you see as Lincoln Williams' path at Illinois to a role in the short term and in the long term?
I think you said it. A role in the short term is going to be earned on the defensive end. That's what this roster needs. We've talked about it. You know, who do you have as a perimeter stopper outside of Andre Stojakovic? And the answer currently is nobody. Could Quentin Coleman become that or become a good defender? I certainly think that's possible. I think, you know, you look across the roster and you just don't see a lot of guys with this type of profile, and a guy who was a really, really good defender as a prep prospect has the tools to be one and kind of has the mindset to be one. Now, does that mean that he's going to come in and lock down, you know, star guards on Big Ten teams as a freshman? Absolutely not. But I think that's where, as you progress through the season and, you know, as you look for what you might need from that ninth, tenth guy on your bench, I think that's probably his ticket to seeing the floor. And so I would imagine that, you know, I don't expect him to be a full-time rotational piece as a freshman, but if he were to see the floor and if that were to progress into something where he did earn more trust as the season went along, I think that would probably be his ticket. Long term, I think you take these tools and you develop them, and you could have a really, really good two-way wing 2 or 3 years down the line if you refine some of the offensive things that he brings to the table. If he can improve his jump shot, if he can improve his fluidity a little bit offensively, you know, as a downhill driver, and his handle ability to make plays off the dribble, like those are things that are pretty raw for him. Now, this is somebody who scored over 1,800 points at Kent Key. Like, he can score the ball.
Productive, yeah.
His athletic profile gives him a very high floor offensively, but I think there's a ton to work with here when you take this type of prospect and you get him into the program, you get him into your strength and conditioning program with Adam Fletcher, and you put him on a team next year that has Final Four upside, a lot of veterans, a lot of really good pieces, a lot of guys that will challenge him and make him better in practice. I think you should be pretty excited that this guy could be certainly a Big Ten contributor in the future, his career, if he sticks around. So I think, you know, short term, I don't think the expectation will be a lot. I think he can help you in some ways, but long term, I mean, not to repeat, but, like, you know, to add this type of long term upside as a late June add 1 week before your season is something that is very, very rare.
Yeah, I think of, like, the late adds, like this, like or late spring, early summer, right? It's guys like Blake Fegbemi, or it's guys like Brandon Leeb, usually the big guys, right? This is way higher upside. And the great part is low risk. Like, you're not having to invest a lot in this, and that's part of the conversation we've had about prep depth, is you don't have to invest a lot of these guys outside of Quentin Coleman and Lucas Murillo, of course, but the upside and the return on investment you can get for these guys. So that's why you're buying a stock low, and you hope you can cash in on that later, as he can turn into something. So, I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. was a kind of a similar prep prospect, a high school prospect, before he went to prep school and kind of became better. He's a little bit bigger body at that time. Obviously, he took some time to develop, but what he became at Illinois. But I think there's, like, a Joseph Bertrand kind of skill set here too for people who want to go back there. Just the ability to attack the rim a little bit. There's some skill offensively to get to the rim, finish around the rim, but some athletic defensive potential as well. Like, that'd be a heck of an addition this late in the cycle. I mean, if he could turn into something like that, boy, that'd be a great thing. And you mentioned being with Fletch, being with his player development staff, including Zach Hamer, who is a big part of this recruitment, Tyler Underwood in this offense, and obviously now Cam Crocker with the defensive side. Like, Illinois's got a pretty good development track record. We'll see what Lincoln Williams makes of this opportunity. He earned it by coming back. So, Kyle, I'm really excited. It'd be a hell of a story if he turns into an important piece, rotational piece even, for Illinois.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be fun to monitor that. And, somebody who was once, you know, a top 100 prospect and a guy that Illinois was really heavily recruiting and has had a really long relationship with and had an unbelievable career here in the state at Kankakee. leading them to their best season in school history, all-time leading scorer, just was such a star there. And you know, and look, this is a six-man freshman class here, and this is your only one from in the state. Now, a big part of that is because this class in the state wasn't very strong, and there's been so many guys that have left, but you know, that's still important here, and especially as you move forward, and we'll talk about at the end of this podcast here some other in-state guys in the future that Illinois is going to be after. But you know, keeping that presence and you know, continuing to build that despite all the different avenues that Illinois has gone to build your roster to get a really talented in-state kid who's you know an hour away from campus, and I think that's pretty meaningful. So yeah, it'll be interesting to monitor. And I think when you look at just the short term too, when you kind of now finalize this roster and to harken back to kind of your practice point too, I really like now how as we feel like the top eight in the rotation is pretty set. Those other guys, those younger freshmen now, 9, 10, 11, 12th men on this roster, I think they're all very different. They all give you something very different, whether that be that you might need in a game to help this team or whether that is just in practice to give this team different looks. Like, you got a lot of different pieces now. Ethan Brown, a really good shooter, somebody who can play on the ball a little bit more, handle the ball as more of an on-ball guard at times. Lincoln Williams, a really good athlete, good multi-positional defender with length. Xavier Zenz, not quite the athlete that Lincoln is, but a bigger bodied wing forward with some skill. And then Landon Davis, more of the bigger forward, big man, true big man, with some skill as well and some defensive potential. Like, there's just a lot of different pieces now that kind of round out this roster. And I think it's kind of the perfect mix as you kind of look at the depth of next season's team. And then hopefully with all those guys, you can then build and those guys can be your next retention moving forward, and you can develop those pieces too down the line.
The largest prep class Illinois has had since 2018, when they also signed six prep prospects in that class. Iodesumu, of course, the headliner, but they got Georgie Bishanishvili, Alan Griffin, Tevian Jones in that class, also Samba Kane and Anthony Higgs. So you're not going to hit on all of these guys. Some of them are going to move on at some point, but if you can hit on a couple of them, Kyle, again, the return on investment would be huge. Andres Feliz also in that class is a JUCO prospect, Illini Inquirer favorite, Andres Feliz. But yeah, it's interesting how they are leaning more into prep prospects, and we'll talk about it. They're recruiting the state as hard as they have. And with Quentin Kitt and Mason Martin on board in 27, you have Lincoln Williams, and they're pushing for the 2028 guys who are elite prospects. They are recruiting the state really, really hard. Guys, you can feel that heat. The summer is here. That means trips to the pool and the golf course and grilling out in the backyard. I got my Blackstone fired up and been grilling a ton. And of course, Father's Day is on June 21st. And Dad doesn't want another tire watch, guys. You know what he wants? He wants the tender, juicy taste of his favorite grilled steak to perfection. Shop OmahaSteaks.com, and that's where you can get your high-quality steaks and meats perfect for grilling season this summer. Plus, you get an extra $35 off with promo code Illini at checkout. See site for details. Omaha Steaks has sent me all of their meats, guys, and every steak and every entree is flash frozen, vacuum sealed at the moment of carving, so no matter when your dad enjoys his meal, it will taste as fresh as the day it was carved. The fan favorite filet mignon, I've had a couple of those. They've earned the distinction of USDA certified very tender. So give dad a license to grill with a gift from Omaha Steaks. This Father's Day, give the dad in your life something to savor. World-famous Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with promo code Illini at checkout. That's OmahaSteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code Illini at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Quentin Coleman, an in-state native, right? He's from O'Fallon originally and plays in St. Louis. But what a week it was for him at the FIBA U18 America Cup. Kyle, it seems like you watched every minute of the USA team. So I'm glad you're full-time now. I can just push that off onto you. But I got to watch him too. More than 11 points, 11 rebounds. Again, 11 rebounds per game. Several assists. It was really good handle of the ball until the final game. Didn't have the best game late. Didn't shoot it all that well, but he's been a great shooter for most of his career. So I know, Kyle, you thought Quentin Coleman, new five-star prospect, was the best player for not great America team this year. I mean, losing it for the first time in 18 years. The America Cup to Canada, which has some impressive players. Obviously, Canada's gotten a lot better. But why did you think he was the best player for the America team in the America Cup?
Just thought he impacted the game in more ways than anybody else on the floor. And you look at the numbers that he put up for Team USA across the week. He led the team in rebounds with 11.4 per game, which is, yeah, let's emphasize that two or three times. 11.4 rebounds per game for a 6'4", 180-pound guard. Unbelievable. Had 10-plus in all five of his games, which is insane. But led the team in rebounds, second in points at 11.2 per game. Third in assists, fourth in blocks, fifth in steals, first in plus minus, was plus 114 across the five games, which was far and away the best mark on the team. I just thought he was the most consistently impactful. He made the most impact in the biggest variety of areas on the floor in a team. Yeah, it wasn't the most impressive team. Like, I thought that
the decision making for me was
the decision making was not great. They didn't really have a true like point guard table setter on the roster, which I thought really hurt them. And it was just kind of a hodgepodge of it. The roster did not really fit very well together, which I think was a big reason why Canada was able to take him down. But I thought Quentin Coleman just was so impactful and did it really in a way where, you know, he wasn't on the court to be the on-ball playmaker. He wasn't on the court, had a bunch of stuff run for him or had the ball in his hands all the time. You know, he was spotted up in the corner for a big portion of this tournament, and he still found a way to stuff the stat sheet pretty much every game, found a way to get 10-plus rebounds every game. His tenacity and ferocity on the offensive glass is – I know Brad Underwood had a big smile on his face watching this tournament because that is – I haven't quite seen that. Illinois had really good rebounding guards. I mean, they got to replace a couple really good rebounding guards.
Keaton Wagner and Colin Boswell are great guards. Rebound. Kasper Siak has shown this. Like, I kept trying to point that home. Like, he was a great rebounder for a guard. I would assume it was a pretty good rebounder for a guard. Terrence Shannon was not, and Brad Underwood was all over his ass all the time for that. But this kid, like, I think he's the best of them. Like, just on his focus, his effort, and it kind of reminded me of the Last Dance segment where Dennis Rodman's like, well, the rebound, ball goes here, I go here. If the ball goes here, I go here. Like, he just knew how to read the ball off the rim and where to be. But a lot of it is effort and focus on rebounding. And when you're a five-star prospect, Kyle, and you're doing that stuff, that means you're made of some winning stuff. That's what stood out most to me. And among all those guards, I do think he got sloppy with his handle in the final game, but I thought his decision-making, like on the break, making the right play, not trying to go get one by himself, I thought his decision-making was good. So he didn't shoot it as well as he normally does. I'm not all that concerned about that. But the winning stuff is what is really exciting, especially going to a team that needs kind of those connective tissue pieces from a guard, because Stefan Vaux, we know what he is. He's going to be a go-to scorer of this team. We know what all those pieces in the front court are going to be. They need a guard really who can do some of the things that went underrated with Keaton Wagner's game, but a lot of the stuff that Kylan Boswell did so well to connect that team together.
Absolutely, yeah, and I thought his role that he played for Team USA was a pretty good context to evaluate what it'll look like for him as a freshman at Illinois, because I think it's probably pretty similar to what he's going to be for the Illini next year. Like, he didn't have the ball in his hands a ton, did at times. You know, he operated as a secondary playmaker. He was really good in transition. I thought that was the other area that really popped for me that I didn't necessarily know going in as much from seeing it, watching him as a high school prospect. But man, that was where he was at his best, and he created so many of those opportunities too because of his effort on the glass. He'd fly in for a defensive rebound, then he'd push it the other way, and I thought he was at his best as a decision maker when he was out in the open floor and could really read it and make the right decisions, find teammates, and I thought that was really impressive. But you know, that was kind of his role there, I think, is pretty similar to what you'll see playing alongside Stefan Vaux and Andrei Stojakovic and David Mirkovic, where he is probably going to be an off guard. guard. He's probably going to be spotted up in the corner a lot. And, you know, he's going to serve as a floor spacer and a spot-up shooter, but he can still make an impact because he can be a connective passer. He can be a secondary playmaker at times if Fox is off the floor, or create his own opportunities in transition off of his rebounding. I think he'll make a lot of shots. Like, the visually, the shot looks fantastic. Didn't quite find it in this tournament, but he shot 51% as a senior at Principia. Like, I'm not concerned about that at all. But he just found ways to impact the game, and he did it without necessarily having to be the guy, and that's pretty rare for a guy of his caliber, for five-star prospects to be able to just say, hey, I'm going to play a role, and I'm going to find a way to make my impact in a lot of different areas here without having to have the ball in my hands to do it. Like, a lot of these guys, a lot of guys on that team, a lot of the five-star prospects ranked in his range in this class, that's not necessarily something they'd be comfortable doing. And Quentin Coleman was really comfortable with that. And I think that should give you a lot of optimism about it. As somebody who is probably going to be Illinois' fourth or fifth option right away, yeah, he can really impact the game. And I think he showed that for Team USA.
What do you think? Would you see that he's going to have to clean up once he gets, you know, obviously with the non-conference schedule Illinois has and in the Big Ten? There's even Keith Wagler had some early, right, like growing pains. Like, what are the things that Quentin Coleman's going to have to figure out or clean up once he gets here?
Yeah, I think the handle for me, like, I think he's got to clean that up a little bit. That's where he really ran into a lot of those turnovers in the gold medal game. He had four turnovers against Canada, and it just was a little bit loose, you know, especially dribbling into traffic and, you know, trying to make plays off the dribble. I thought he lost the ball a few times, and yeah, I think his ball handling, if he does hope to develop into more of an on-ball playmaker or a primary playmaker at some point in his career, whether that's at Illinois in college or beyond that, I think that's something that, you know, I think right now that's not something that he is necessarily super comfortable with at this level. And so,
yeah, it kind of reinforced to me that, is it Stefan or Stefan? I'm still figuring that out. Vox is going to be the primary guy. Like, yes. I thought that to start this season, like, it's going to be Vox. Now, maybe it comes to the point where Coleman's like Wagler and they feel like, hey, we got to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. Vox is not exactly to that level we want. But I think this kind of reinforced to me that Quentin Coleman's probably an off guard, but he can be a secondary playmaker, and I think he fits really well as an off guard. But yeah, I don't think he's going to be the guy the offense runs through on a team with Vox and obviously Davin Mirkovic and Tomislav Ivicic and Andrei Stojakovic.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think that's kind of where he's most comfortable, is more of a secondary playmaker and a guy who doesn't have to shoulder a heavy load, but when he does get opportunities, I think he can be pretty steady. And, you know, there were plenty of possessions. I mean, he did have one game against Mexico where he had five assists and no turnovers and did initiate in the half court and made some really good decisions, played in some ball screens. So he has that for sure. But, yeah, I don't necessarily think that'll be – it's not going to be a Keaton Wagler situation. Or at least I'd be surprised if it develops into that. And the other thing is he's got to add strength for sure. Like, he absolutely physically will need to continue to develop. He didn't finish at the rim all that well. Credit to him, despite his frame, which still has some work to do, he is not afraid to put his nose into traffic. But kinda there
like
were Keaton. Times where
I keep, yeah, like, it was like, this kid ain't soft. Like, it's just, can he hold up? Yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid to do it. He's not soft. He's willing to absorb contact, but he's got to be able to withstand it a little bit better. I thought when he drove into traffic, you know, he got bumped around a little bit. Even fighting for some rebounds, he ended up on the floor a few times, and he didn't finish at the rim all that well in this tournament. Didn't get a ton of opportunities, but he did miss some finishes there. So the physical development will definitely be important, and given what you're going to be relying on him to be as a freshman, that starts next week, you know, when he gets to campus. Like, this is going to be a very important summer and fall for him, just like it was for Keaton Wagler, who made huge strides from that standpoint. And you saw him, you know, when we first even saw him, like, at media day compared to March, and, you know, from June compared to opening night in November, Keaton Wagler look different. His body looked different. So I think you hope that you can get that done with Quentin as well, because it'll do wonders for him as somebody who is already tough, already willing to battle. Just add some strength and he'll be able to handle it a little bit better.
So what excites you about all of these guys? Because we obviously think of Fletch with adding strength, right? Because he's the strength coach. And it excites me about Lincoln Williams and Quentin Coleman, because look what he's done with Keaton Wagler, with Will Riley, of adding not only strength but functional strength that translates to the basketball court. But then other guys like Jake Davis has become a much better athlete. I think is trying to maximize his athleticism. I thought with Io DeSumo, they made him a better athlete when he was here, because athleticism is not his biggest thing, but I think he improved a lot there, and Fletch was a big part of that. So I'm excited about what he can do with some of these freshmen. But defensively, he's going to have to play a role. We mentioned that a little bit earlier. How'd you come away defensively? Because he's got active hands. He's aggressive on that end. Strength, again, I think is the biggest question mark there. But how do you think he'll hold up defensively as a freshman?
I thought he was good during the AmeriCup defensively. It was hard to gauge a little bit, because look, until that Canada team where they had a really, really good guard who kind of took over the game. You know, some of these guys that he's guarding, they're not the greatest, you know, they're not the greatest players, not the most explosive athletes or guys that are going to beat you off the dribble. So it's hard to fully gauge from this tournament. But I thought, look, he's got the lateral quickness. He moves his feet really well. He's competitive as heck. Like, he gets down in a stance and guards and wants to compete on that end, which is something that we've heard all throughout his high school career. Like, in terms of want to buy in, he's going to do that, and I think that should give you some optimism. There's just some technique things and certain things that as a high school senior becoming a college freshman that everybody has to go through. Like, I think he got a little over aggressive at times. Yeah. Like, he is aggressive. He gambled for some steals that got him out of position sometimes, and you know, there were just some things with his feet that I think he got caught up in. So there's some little tweaks that you have to make that every freshman is going to have to. But I think in terms of his mindset, and I think the tools and the athletic profile that he has, like, he's quick, he moves his feet really well, he does have length, and he had some really good possessions throughout the tournament. And I think his IQ is really high too, like, even just watching him off the ball, like, he rarely was out of position there. He was pretty attentive, and he understands the game really well. So I think there should be some optimism there. I don't necessarily know if I see lockdown perimeter defender, which is a tough expectation for any freshman, but I think a positive on that end is certainly something that you should expect, because he definitely wants to be that, and he's going to buy into being that. I have no question about that.
Quentin Coleman looks like he's going to be a future draft pick, whether that's after 1 year or two year. I don't know if this changed that for me, but what changed for me is, like, that floor that I already thought was pretty high, I think I raised it even higher. Like, I'm very comfortable having Quentin Coleman in my starting lineup for a Final Four worthy or hopeful team. I think having him in there, the things I saw at the AmeriCup just reinforced that, yeah, this guy's built for it, and I think he knows exactly the type of role that he's going to have to play on that team. So that's what is really reinforcing for me, is like, yeah, that kid's ready for this, Kyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's gonna be perfect for the role that he's gonna play, and he's gonna be impactful, and he's gonna find ways to make an impact. Like, it's tough sometimes when you're bringing in a five-star prospect and a guy who scored 50 points in a state championship game in March to lead his team to the state title. Like, to then transition, you know, a lot of the guys that do that and a lot of the guys that are ranked similarly are coming in to be a top one or two scoring option on their college team immediately. That's not necessarily what Quentin is going to be. That doesn't mean that it's not possible for him to emerge as that, because he's ultimately talented, and we just saw what Keaton Wagler did, but that's not really what it's likely going to be for him. And to see him impact the game in as many ways as he did, playing a role that wasn't, you know, the guy for Team USA and a guy that had to operate with the ball all the time, really, really impressive. And yeah, I think in terms of what it's going to look like at Illinois, like, he's going to impact the game. He's going to give you a lot of different things. He's going to give you a really high motor, great effort, and there's still so much still there that we didn't even get to see in these five AmeriCup games from an offensive standpoint, the shot making and so much more that he has as a player. Like, it's really exciting to see you know, what he can be this year. And then, yeah, if you get him for a second year, which maybe you don't end up, but yeah, I think 2 years is probably the maximum I see him playing college basketball. But the question will be one or two to me. And yeah, if you were to be able to build with him for a second year and then give him more responsibility, like, yeah, that could be a could be an all Big Ten first team type of guy at some point.
I think we can never compare somebody to the freshman season we just saw from Wagner. So I just throw that out. Like, I'm just throwing that out. Maybe he can have a KJ or Will Riley level of impact where he can be that kind of player and a one and done player. But I've mentioned this guy before, but an all Big Ten freshman year, like, I think is very likely. And the role he'll play, it reminds me of DJ Richardson when he was a freshman on an NCAA tournament team where he had veterans around him. Like, I think that's a four for this kid, which is a really damn good player. And the ceiling is potential one and done. So he's an exciting addition, man. Good thing they got a second chance at him.
Yeah, and I think you said when they first got him, like LeBaron Filon, what was somebody that, like, from a college path standpoint, like, he was a guy really, really...
Yeah, the comps I got were Filon and Bufkin, Kobe Bufkin.
Yeah, but even just beyond the comp, because I do think there's some differences from a player standpoint between him and Filon, but, like, what Filon's Alabama career was, where he was a really impactful player as a freshman. He wasn't a leading scorer or anything like that, but he made a big impact. And then he came back for his second year and was the guy and was one of the best guards in college basketball. Like, that could be something that could be a similar path to what Quentin Coleman takes. Obviously, we got to see what it looks like. I think there's absolutely a possibility, especially with what next year's draft looks like, that he could be another one and done. But regardless, all that NBA stuff, like, he's going to be a really good player for Illinois, and I think he fits really, really well in the role that he's going to play next year with all the established veterans around him.
Amazing addition. That guy could be your fourth or fifth best player. All right, you are going this weekend to one of my favorite events, Riverside Brookfield Shootout. Fantastically done in that huge, huge gym and field house right next to Brookfield Zoo for people who've been there. What a great list of teams. Like, all the top teams in the state of Illinois will be there, and some of the best players in the state of Illinois will be there, including Brady Pettigrew out of Bolingbrook and the Neuqua Valley duo Cole Kelly and Mason Martin. But basically all the top teams in the state will be there. Kyle, what are you looking forward to seeing the most there? And I know the Illini staff will be there as well, because those prospects, especially those 2028 kids, are huge priorities for them in the class of 2028.
Yeah, that 2028 duo is pretty exciting. Those guys are really good players, and they play each other. Neuqua Valley and Bolingbrook, 2:50 Central Time on Friday. Neuqua Valley and Bolingbrook play each other, so I'm really, really excited to watch that game. Mason Martin, obviously, he's already committed to Illinois, is shooting the heck out of the ball this spring for breakaway basketball on the Adidas circuit, and we'll get a chance to see him. But, yeah, it's... that'll be a really fun battle between Cole Kelly and Brady Pettigrew, who are unbelievably talented players. They're very different, but I think, you know, you can really debate, like, who is the best player in the state in 2028, because I think both of them have really strong arguments. That Neuqua Valley team next year with Martin and Kelly has a pretty good chance to probably be the preseason number one team in the state after what they did this year. They went on a 29-game winning streak. And yeah, Cole Kelly is he's probably my favorite player regardless of class right now. I know Illinois loves him a ton too. Like, every box that Illinois wants to check in a prospect, he checks it pretty much. Like,
list those
from
out
a fit standpoint. It's just like positional size. Yes, he's big. He's pretty strong already. 6'7". I think he can be 6'8", 6'9" by the time he arrives in college. Unbelievably high IQ guy who truly, I think, could be an on-ball creator. Like, he has been that for Neuqua Valley. Like, he can really play make with the ball in his hands. Great vision, great feel, can shoot the heck out of it. Lefty, really pretty stroke as a shooter. Guy can get to the rims.
Underwood
physical.
Loves his lefties too.
Yeah, it's just, you know, positional size, skill, IQ, shooting. He's got all of it. He's as all around of a prospect as I've seen in that class. So in terms of everything that he brings, so
tough as hell, great rebounder. Yeah,
Yeah, really, really tough. Yeah, heck of a rebounder, heck of an offensive rebounder. Another guy who really crashes the offensive glass hard. That'll be a fun one to monitor too, because the entire Big Ten's getting in on that one. Yeah. Just got an Ohio State offer. Took a visit to Purdue, Iowa, Nebraska's in that thing, Missouri too. So, yeah, that'll be. Seeing that Neuqua Valley duo will be great, because Mason Martin's been playing really, really well since Illinois got him in December as well. And Cole Kelly is obviously the higher upside, star upside type of prospect. So, but yeah, Brady Pettigrew too is another guy who he's kind of blown up this spring. He's got like 20 plus offers now. Unbelievable athlete. He's 6'3", ultra athletic guard, plays above the rim, can really shoot it. You know,
Trey
he's kind
McKinney
of
any kind of vibes.
Yeah,
bit.
Yeah, because he's not, you know, he's listed as a point guard some places. He's not really necessarily like a true like table setting point guard. He's a score first guard, but he's got some. I think that's a pretty good. Yeah. He's just a really good athlete and a guy who can do a lot of things. And he's one of those guys that I wouldn't be surprised if by the time he gets to college in 2028, like he's top 10, top 5 level prospect, because the physical tools paired with everything else he can do are, that's an elite type of guy.
By the way, McKinney might be I don't know what the value will be, but that would be one of my value picks for Big Ten Player of the Year, because I think he's in for a major leap. I'm really impressed by him. So yeah, it's a fantastic class in 2028, so I'm really interested to hear how they play, and hopefully you can catch up with them and see where they think of Illinois, because Illinois has made them top priorities. And as we've seen here, Kyle, Illinois is carrying a big stick on the recruiting trail right now.
Yes, they are, and they've earned that, and they're becoming, Brett Underwood said, we're becoming a destination spot now. Like, yeah, you get in, you get your Quentin Colemans here, and you get two prospects in the state that are really talented. It's going to be really tough recruitments, because there's going to be a lot of schools in there, and Illinois is swinging big, and they're in a position where they can win those, and they can attract these types of guys. And you go to a Final Four, you develop the way Illinois developed, you put together an offensive system like Illinois has that has produced a ton of NBA guys here recently. Like, yeah, these are the types of waters that you can wade into now. And there's no reason that Illinois wouldn't be an attractive destination to two really talented players like that. So we'll see. There's a long way to go for both, but yeah, those are two to really keep an eye on here moving forward.
Cal Toss, you're the goods, man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Great stuff from Kyle Tosk. Always appreciate his time and insight, and it's great having him full time. The kid gets it, man. He's young, but he's talented, and he's put together some great stuff for us. So we're really excited that he is part of the team. And we appreciate you guys listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcasts. Check us out on YouTube. Hit that like button, subscribe to us, and hit the notifications bell. And while it might be June, college sports seems so far away, it is a busy time with recruiting. Kyle will be at the Riverside Brookfield shootout. We look forward to all of his content from that. Joy Wagner and I will be at the Big Man Camp and 7-on-7 Team Camp for football on Wednesday. Got more official visitors coming for Illinois football this weekend. We got plenty. So go to IlliniInquirer.com. Sign up now for our June special. 60% off a VIP membership. More than $80 of savings for your first year of full VIP access to everything we do at Illini Inquirer. But for Kyle Tosk, I'm Jeremy Warner. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.